Good afternoon and welcome to Saturday with me, Áine Kerr. Please do get in touch if you want to be part of the discussion here today. You can text us on 51551 or WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32. You can also email saturday@rte.ie. We're now live on the RTE radio app, or if you prefer to watch the radio, you can turn on the RTE news channel. Let me start by introducing the panel this weekend. They are Hildegard Nocton, Minister of State for Disability and Fine Gael TD for Galway West. She's in our Galway studio. Sorka Clark, Sinn Féin TD for Longford West Meath. And Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South West. And good afternoon to all of you. And I want to begin today with your own brief, Minister Hildegard Nocton. You have responsibility for disabilities and there's a lot going on in that space at the moment. You've recently launched a new national disability strategy. And I know you've been receiving individual action plans from across government departments and what measures they're going to take in order to turn that strategy into reality. But before we get into the discussion here, let's hear first from a young woman who has a disability. Emma Ward is 23 years old and she's a wheelchair user. I was speaking to her a little earlier and I began by asking her what are the barriers and the extra considerations she has to think about when it comes to accessing employment.
So there's so many, but like the two kind of main factors and stuff, like barriers for me, is one, transport. Like if I was to go work, I need to figure that out. And the second one, which is probably the biggest one, is if I work more than 18 and a half hours, I am putting myself at risk of losing both my disability payment and my medical card. And I am not in a position to do that. I wouldn't be able to afford that because I rely heavily on both of those supports. We're in a cost of living and disabled people are living below the poverty line. So I wouldn't be able to afford that. And with my medical card, I have a rare genetic disorder called Hurler syndrome, and I am constantly being seen by doctors and I'm constantly sick due to my weak immune system because of that. So if my medical card would be taken away, I wouldn't be able to afford the GP visit and to pay for my antibiotics. So it's just, I have to think about all of that, and my health is more important and I need both the payment and the medical card to sustain that.
And the cost of living expenses are very, very real, but there's a lot of extra expenses, Emma, that you incur, like a lot of people. And we know disability groups feel very, very strongly about the need for a cost of living additional allowance. And it's something that the government has committed to in its programme for government. But where do a lot of those other extra expenses come from for you on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis?
So for me, I am lucky that I live at home with my parents and I have the support of those. If I was to go to Dublin on the train, now the train, I have my card, my free travel pass that is a godsend for the train. But when I have to get a taxi, it could go up to €90 to and back from where I'm going, and that is a struggle. I do have to save my money. If I know I'm going to Dublin, I have to save it in advance. Wow. It is a complete struggle.
What then, though, of applying for jobs that you would really, really like and having to game out access and talking to employers? Do issues arise there as well for you, Emma, in terms of just the practical issues of being able to access a role?
So for me, I know the type of support that I need. So if I see a job opening come up, I will send an application. And I always mention that I am a wheelchair user. 9 times out of 10, my application goes ignored. And if I do get a response, which is very rare, they will tell me that their building is not wheelchair accessible and they do not have the funds to implement the supports I would need to be in the workplace.
Because you really do want to work. Like, you would like to be at the maximum end of the hours available to you and your potential to earn a good income.
Yeah, I absolutely would. I would love to work full time in the media world, possibly print media, print journalism and radio like you're doing, but I can't because I can only work so many hours and it's not fair. I know disabled people are well able to go out and work, but we have to really think about the supports that we might lose if we try and go out. It kind of puts us off searching for work, and even though we really want to.
Is there any sense, Emma, of things improving when it comes to employers, when it comes to access, when it comes to your ability to take on more employment, when it comes to supports, when it comes to things that might help with the extra expenses? Do you feel in any ways your life is getting a little bit easier, that there are more supports?
At this moment in time, no, I don't think so. I think the means test for disability allowance should be taken away. Like, we should be able to work longer hours without it affecting our payment. Okay. That should be taken away, if that makes sense.
And would that be one of your top priorities, Emma? You're recently appointed to the Disability Advisory Committee of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. Huge congratulations to you. The ability to work more hours and not having your allowances threatened is one priority. What are the others that you'll be campaigning for through the commission?
My ideal thing with the commission is to help strengthen the law so that the next generation will not have to think about pre-booking transport and having that spontaneity of, like, we can go anywhere because it is accessible, and being able to go in to buildings that are wheelchair accessible without a second thought. We need to do a lot more work, and I am hopeful that this amazing group of 12 members of the Disability Advisory Committee will strengthen the UNCRPD laws here in Ireland, and I cannot wait to be part of that change.
Emma Ward, there, a young woman who is a wheelchair user, speaking to me a little earlier. And just to say, the UNCRPD that she references there at the end is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And Minister Hildegard Nocton, you've been listening there to Emma Ward. I'm sure hers is a story you're very familiar with and empathetic to. But can you explain to people like Emma today why the permanent cost of disability allowance that was outlined in the programme for government didn't follow through in the budget that we've seen only weeks ago, and instead people saw an increase but not this new permanent cost of disability allowance? Why didn't it happen in this budget?
Good afternoon, Áine, and I'd like to thank Emma for, I suppose, outlining the issues in relation to the cost of disability, which we have given a commitment in the programme for government to address in this first budget. This is the first budget over 5 years. From my own point of view, I travelled up and down the country since becoming Minister with Responsibility for Disability last January, and a lot of the Section 38s and 39s who provide disability services were telling me that they were going to close down. The increased costs, the increased demands on them was making it really unsustainable. So I got a 20% increase in the budget of an extra $618 million to ensure that that base, we could stabilise the base and make sure that these disability service providers across the country were supported. In relation to the issues that Emma has brought up, and rightly brought up, this ties into our national disability, our human rights national disability strategy, which is an all of government strategy, which was published a number of weeks ago. And you made reference to action plans that have been sent into my department from other key departments who are going to be key enablers in ensuring that we meet this step change.
And, Minister,
and around that is the cost of disability.
So what's going to have to happen there? Is it through these action plans that you'll be able to then, in time for the next budget, be able to put in place this permanent cost of living allowance? Like, what is it that you're waiting for to happen? What has to get unblocked here to realise this commitment?
Okay, so around the cost of disability, I have discussed this in detail with Minister for Social Protection, Minister Dara Cleary, who is absolutely committed to progressing two key issues here. And this is what has been highlighted by Emma. One are the extra living costs that are incurred by people with a disability, and also the barriers that that disabled people face in getting employment, where it needs to, work has to pay for everybody here, whether you have a disability or not. So for some people, it might be job or accessing a job, as Emma has outlined, but also you might have the job but you don't have the transport networks to get to the job, and there are barriers there. So that's why this strategy and the action plans that, for example, the Department of Transport have sent to me, that the Department of Social Protection have sent in, but really importantly here, Anya, and Emma made reference to this, she wants to be part of this, not only this conversation, but to make sure that we reach that ambition. So those action plans are currently
Minister,
now with the...
Nobody would doubt listening to you that you really understand this area, you're getting the action plans, but a lot of people listening will then ask, well, if not now, then when? And, you know, I know in an interview you did with the Irish Wheelchair Association, you talked about, and you acknowledged people with disabilities are at more risk of poverty, they have less disposable income, they are incurring higher level living costs. And I know you've recognised in the past that that is not acceptable. We know this was a big election issue. We know disability services are calling for multiples of the 10 euros. Some have even said they need to see a 78 euro increase in the allowance that's there at the moment, because one in five people are unable to work due to disability. They're living in consistent poverty today, this afternoon, listening to us. So if not now, then when?
So what is happening now is those action plans, and one of them is the action plan coming from the Department of Social Protection around the cost of disability issue, are being now consulted. We're consulting with the disability persons organisations before they're even published. So this is what's different about this strategy, that people like Emma and advocates like the DPOs are now going to be looking at those action plans, seeing are they ambitious enough, and they will be going to
Minister,
this is the delivery, if I can just finish this point. They will be going to the Cabinet Committee on Disability, which is chaired by the Taoiseach, which has huge accountability oversight, and it will become very transparent very quickly which departments are stepping up and which
Minister,
not.
Just to be clear, though, for listeners, the permanent cost of disability allowance that is in the programme for government, is that what you are still pushing for through these action plans, through the conversations with your ministerial colleagues?
So there's work happening on that within the Department of Social Protection. So Minister Cleary, work has already started on establishing the strategic focus network. Basically, this is to develop solutions to address the cost of disability, and the work should be completed on that in the first half of next year. And I would hope, and I don't want to preempt any other minister going through budget negotiations, but that by the next budget, the budget 2027, that we can really make inroads here in relation to dealing with the cost of disability. Okay. Education have theirs, SNAs, therapies in our special schools, transport will have actions that they'll have to put in place as well, health, my own department with my section 37, 38 and specialist disability services. So there's going to be huge consultation with disability groups on this, and there will be huge oversight and accountability.
Okay.
That's what's different about this strategy.
Thank you. Paul Murphy, to bring you in there, the Minister is clearly signalling maybe something for the next budget. We're not clear still on why it couldn't happen in this particular budget, but we know there's all of these action plans coming to the table. You believed in your alternative budget that this needed to happen now. What did you believe the number needed to be at? Did it need to be this permanent allowance or the allowance that exists today?
Yes. I mean, whatever about next year's budget, we just had a budget, and actions speak louder than words. And the action of the government was, in one of the richest countries in the world, at a time of significant budget surpluses, this government's, the budget we just had, is going to make disabled people poorer, a lot poorer, by more than 1,000 euros each. So it's making most people in the country poorer, but it's making disabled people even more poorer by withdrawing various one-off payments, the disability support grant, the living alone allowance, the cut of the fuel allowance, the cut of the October double payment, the cut in the electricity credits. And that is not made up by the 10 euros increase in the disability allowance. So you're pushing a group of people who already disproportionately experience poverty, one in four households with a disabled person within them, is experiencing deprivation. Like you said, one in five are unemployed. That's the highest rate of unemployment in all of the European Union. It's 2021 that the Department of Finance did a report saying you have this big extra cost for disabled people of about 10,000 euros. By now, that's up to 12, 13,000 euros. And so what we need is, you know, Google was able to walk in the front door, meet with Pascal Donohue, say, we want a change in the R&D tax credit. And they got it. They got a change worth 300 million euros. Disabled people's organisations have been calling out for disability, cost of disability payments.
And would you accept when the minister says, though, the billions invested in this area, I think there's a 619 million increase in the budget that is dedicated to people with disabilities. Would you believe maybe there can be a trickle down effect through some of those supports and grants when it comes to cost of living?
But the majority of disabled people will not benefit from any of that. So yes, it's good that we have more investment in, for example, our CDNTs. It's all inadequate so that those who are receiving services can actually receive services like on time or something closer to time, something like more adequate services. That's still not going to happen. But like, investment in that is welcome, but the majority of disabled people are not in receipt of these services and are faced with the cost of living crisis, the additional over 10,000 euros cost of having a disability, and the government has literally done nothing for them. They've taken payments away from them, pushed them into poverty, and we should have been listening to and implementing the ask from the likes of the Disability Federation of Ireland, the Irish Wheelchair Association.
And do all of that still in parallel to means testing, removing the means test on disability allowance
exactly.
Still would stand.
And that's what we did in our budget proposal.
If
we removed the means test for disability allowance and added an extra
Minister,
50
let me just go to Sorka Clark and I will bring you back in, Minister. But yeah. Sorka Clark, what did you ultimately, and give us numbers here, because I think ultimately Sinn Féin agreed with this potential approach of a permanent cost of living disability allowance. So what did you, and what do you believe, sitting here today, weeks after the budget, what did it need to start at and what did it need to increase to?
Well, Áine, sitting here today, I'll be very honest with you, my constituents with a disability or have a member of a family with disability are angry. They are very, very angry and they are right to be angry. They don't know where the money is coming from to put the petrol in the car, to keep the lights on or to keep the electricity on in their houses. This government managed to have a budget of nearly 9 billion euro and leave people with disabilities 1,400 euro worse off every year. That's not Sinn Féin saying that. That's not me saying that. That's the Disability Federation of Ireland saying that. The ESRI, the budgetary office and the Oireachtas itself have said that poverty among those with people with disabilities is going to continue to rise. And that's on the back of last year there being a 5% increase to 32.5% of those with disabilities who are living in poverty. That is absolutely unacceptable. We had a motion 3 weeks ago in the Dáil on this and we were very clear.
So what was the figure Sinn Féin had costed?
What needs to happen now, and now as in come January, is that the disability allowance needs to go up by 20 euro a week. What also needs to happen is the 300 euro lump sum payment for recipients of all core social welfare payments, which would include disability allowance, needs to happen. Sinn Féin's proposal was to increase the fuel allowance by the equivalent of 300 euro a year. What we don't need is a government minister coming out and continually telling people with disabilities that they need to wait, because the obvious question those people ask is, until when? The minister spoke of a budget next year, budget 2026. That means that what's announced next year won't actually be implemented until 2027. That's 2 years. Are the government really asking people who are struggling and living with a disability that they need to wait almost 2 years before they will see this happen?
Minister Nocton, so there's a lot there, the claim that people will be poorer still as a result of all of this, and that a year is just too long to wait when you are looking at all of those statistics and research from disability organisations.
Well, let me just give one example in relation to the budget just gone by. What we gave a commitment to as a government and the programme for government was to do away with the means test for carers. So we started in this budget with that, so that we have the largest ever increase in the carer's allowance income disregard. So at the moment, the income disregard is 375 euro if you're a single person. That has gone up now to 1,000 euro. If you are a couple, it is 750 at the moment. And due to this budget, that's increased to 2,000 euro for a couple. Again, this is moving towards doing away with the means test. We've increased, Minister Dara Cailleary has increased the amount for the disability allowance, carer's allowance, 20 euro increase in the domiciliary care allowance, The wage subsidy scheme, again, we've increased that. This is a scheme that will incentivise employers to take on a person with a disability, but they also need supports. And Emma has really clearly outlined the issues here, not only for the person trying to get a job, but also for employers. So this is why this is an all of government approach. And I absolutely understand people are frustrated. And the cost of disability is very different for different people. And that is the work that Minister Cleary is carrying out with disabled people's organisations.
Minister, do you recognise the anger, though, that Sorga is talking about there? You must be hearing it from your own constituents and when you meet with disability groups.
I absolutely. I was in special education before this, so I'm very much in tune with the sentiment of families who are struggling out there looking for therapists. That's why we have another 150 in last September going through our third level systems for speech and language, occupational therapists. We have full employment in this country. We are recruiting nationally, internationally. My colleague Helen McEntee has put in place extra SNAs, extra special education teachers. She's putting therapists into our special schools. So it's not just about my department or Minister Dara Cleary's department or the Department of Transport. This is all of government. The Department of Health as well, a single point of access when a child is born where they're not meeting their milestones and it is determined that they need additional supports. They need to be all of this is what I'm saying is this is not going to happen Áine, in 12 months. And it would be disingenuous of me or anybody to say that. I met with the Disability Federation of Ireland. I met with all of these groups.
And Minister, you will know with those groups, it's the cost of living. It's the extra expenses.
And
you will know the thread line from all of that, the cost of living to poverty, which is very, very real for them.
I'm not disagreeing at all with the cost of disability. And that's why I'm saying Minister Dara Cleary is currently working on this with disability groups. We cannot do this as policymakers on our own or we won't get it right. And that's where the action plans that are being published in the next couple of weeks are now being looked at by disability organisations themselves.
But cost of living will be a year. It will be a year.
Cost of living is happening now. The work on this is happening now.
And the last budget. And
you make them poorer in this budget.
The last budget, I've just outlined a number of increases.
But you accept they're making their
poorer. Care allowance. No. What I'm saying,
Paul.
Okay,
so the allowance.
Okay, what's the time right with inflation?
Sorry.
Well, Minister, let's Sorka in for a minute and I'll let you back in. Sorka.
The increase in the disability allowance put forward by this government doesn't keep in line with inflation. How is that not making people poorer?
We're doing a lot of different things right across government in relation to disability allowance, the disability domiciliary care allowance. Look, I could go into the Sinn Féin budget where you've gone way over a budget would have us reeling into a deficit in this country.
Minister, you and I both know that's not true. Budgets is about
We need to make sure that we are honest with people in relation to what we can do.
Agree.
We have given this commitment as a government that there will be a step change in relation to disability. Housing and disability were
Minister,
the top
that
two
point.
Issues for this cabinet. And I can assure you there is huge amount of work from the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, the down in relation to getting
Paul,
across government.
Listening to the Minister there repeatedly on these action plans, which I'm sure there's going to be value in them that will show how do you actually execute on a new national strategy. Would it fill you with hope, optimism, positivity that there could be a roadmap with lots of milestones and we'll see the wins, tangible wins, week by week, month by month?
Well, we need to see the resources coming behind the commitments. And so far it's not looking good because, again, let's be honest with people. And it is honest. It is not an exaggeration to say that disabled people have been made about €1,400 poorer a year as a result of the last budget. That is just simply a fact because of all the withdrawal of the once-off payments that are not made up by the small increases that the minister is talking about. That doesn't even take into account the impact of inflation. And it's true, there's lots of things that can't be done in 12 months. The crisis in terms of our CDNTs is so great that it'll take time to train people. But actually, cost of disability payment is the one kind of thing that you could have just done. It is simply a matter of making payments to people. As an interim measure, you could have massively increased the disability allowance and gotten rid of the means test, for an example, if you're saying, oh, we have to put in place a system for this annual. But instead, you chose to make people poorer.
Minister,
that's
can
the
I ask
truth.
There, just you mentioned the means test for carers. When it comes to the means test for disability allowance, I don't think there's any plans by the government to remove that. But you do mention in the programme for government, reform the disability allowance payment and remove anomalies in the current means test for the payment. Is there anything you can tell us about that work and when we might see outcomes there?
Again, this is work that has been carried out by Minister for Social Protection, Dara Cleary, and we will see in the action plans that will be produced. But can I just say, the opposition are putting across a message here that this is very simple. The cost, and I'm not trying to, you know, bat something away here, the cost of disability is very different for different people, is number one. Number two, when you talk, Emma talks about getting a job and she wants to, you know, retain her medical card, and rightly so, and she doesn't want to be losing benefits because she's out working, and this comes back into the cost for her to get to work, which is far more expensive than somebody else. What we don't want are unintended consequences, and that's why this work by the Department of Social Protection with disability groups in the room is going to be so important. It's not as simple as people think, and I'm not trying to bat it away, as I say, but I'm just talking about the complexity of it, and what's different about this strategy and the oversight is the co-design of this will be done with these groups who have that lived experience on the ground.
Minister, what do you say to Emma there, who I suspect speaks for many who would like to work more than what's there at the moment in terms of a minimum wage job and maybe just being restricted to 10 or 12 hours a week, that she'd like to do more, contribute to society. We know how important work is and the dignity of work to feeling a sense of belonging and your well-being and mental health. Is there anything that can be done there for the likes of Emma that you're considering that would enable people with disabilities to work more if they can, while not having to worry all the time about potentially losing allowances and the medical card?
Yeah, and this is exactly the work that's happening between the Department of Social Protection and the Department of Enterprise and Employment. And already there has been changes to the wage subsidy scheme, increasing the number of hours that people with a disability can work. But it also works the reverse way, where some people who have a disability may not be able to work, you know, as many hours as somebody else. So this is the complexity of it, which has been worked through again with the disability organisations. And one last thing, we're looking at increasing work opportunities in the civil service and also raising awareness of supports available for people to work in the private sector. But these industry will have to be supported as well. Employers, when I meet them, when they employ somebody with a disability where the supports are there, it is the best thing that they have done for their whole, for their organisation. And we need really good models that are already out there to replicate them right across the country.
One texter, Mary, says to the show, regarding the talk with the Minister for Disability, I have MS and receive invalidity pension now. I had to finish my work as a nurse, but would love to work a little during the week, but I would lose my invalidity pension and medical card. I could work 20 hours voluntary work and not get paid. With MS, I feel the cold terribly, so my heating costs can be very high during the work. It's not easy having a disability in Ireland. My husband is also on an invalidity pension due to a work-related accident. Disability is an area that really needs to be looked at, as people are genuinely hurting. What would you say to Mary, Minister?
And that's exactly the reason why this is complex. That lady just outlined a number of unintended, potentially, consequences that we could make as policymakers, and that's why these action plans and the Department of Social Protection is working with disability groups around this to make sure that we get it right. And we might not get everything right, and we might make mistakes on it, but that's why the strategy is flexible and we need to pivot and adapt as we go through it.
Right, we look forward to seeing those action plans being published, Minister. We'll take a break back after this.